Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a very special day here in the United States. We are recognizing and celebrating our veterans who have made our country just awesome. So thank you to everybody who has served in the military here in the United States of America. We cannot thank you enough for giving us the privileges and the great times that we've had with our families because of your courage and sacrifice. So thank you again to all the veterans out in the listening audience. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Rochelle from up in Canada to hear about a great trip down to Walt Disney World. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Of course, you know, two great books. Holiday season quickly approaching. Thanksgiving's going to be here in just 2 weeks. Of course, Canadians have already had Thanksgiving. We're getting ready to eat the big bird here in about 2 weeks. And you know what that means. After that, it's time to get ready for Christmas and get those holiday gifts for everybody. If you have a Disney fan in your life, drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books to give that Disney fan on your list. And of course, you got different ways to give it too. You know, you have the traditional book that's it can be signed by author Jeff Barnes. That's a really personal and nice gift to get. I got that one from a friend of mine, Teresa, a few years back, and I treasure that so much. You can also get ebooks and audiobooks as well. Really, get some Disney in your friend's life. Maybe it's just for yourself. We all want that Disney fix. This book, these books both get you fired up for life and give you the Disney fix at the same time. So check them out today. Great gift for the holidays over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I'm just going to give you a little hint here. This is a great last-minute gift for somebody that's a Disney fan when it gets time and it's crunch time. You can order this. Just give their email address. And for a few bucks, you're getting 365 days of great information from an upcoming trip. And who knows, maybe two, three, four trips in 2019. It's a great gift. Let them know you heard about them here. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1406 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Veterans Day to you. Like I said in the very, very top of the show, thanks again to everybody who has served here in the States. You're the reason our country is awesome and we get to do all the fun things we get to talk about here on the podcast. All right, today we've got a great trip report. We're heading out to sea with a very, very unique itinerary on the Disney Wonder, which I love that ship, one of the classic ships in the fleet. And, you know, some people always want to go on the Fantasy and the Dream, which is awesome. I've been on both, been on all four ships. But there's something about those classic ships of the Wonder and the Magic that are just special. So today, we're heading north of the border. We're heading up to Ontario, Canada, with two guests. We have Rochelle and Nat. Thanks for joining me today, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Hey, Nat, how you doing? I'm glad you're. I have a feeling you're going to be a gentleman, a few words, but hopefully not today because we're an audio podcast. People are going to want to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll try to talk as much as I can.
Okay, there you go. No problem. I appreciate it. So we're going to talk Disney Cruise Line today. It's, you know, here, I'm sure it's chilly up where you guys are. It's getting a lot chillier here in the Midwestern United States where I am. Nothing better to think about than being on a Disney Cruise Line ship, specifically the Disney Wonder. So, Rochelle, tell us about this cruise. When did you sail? Where'd you sail out of and so forth?
So, our cruise was in January 2017, and we sailed out of Galveston, Texas, on the Disney Wonder, as you said.
So, why this cruise? Because that's a very unique itinerary. You know, when I heard you were Canadian, I thought this, you know, maybe you cruised out of New York or something like that. Like Ricky just got back from a cruise that headed up to Halifax. You know, why Galveston and why this repositioning cruise?
Well, part of it is that my husband really wanted to go on a cruise and I wanted to go on a vacation to Jamaica, which is the country where my husband's from. And my son had this, our son had this great idea, which was to take a Disney cruise that stopped in Jamaica. And so really we were just looking for, Disney cruises tend to be a little bit more expensive than other cruises. We were just looking for one with a good price. And as we were looking at the options, we saw this repositioning cruise that started in Galveston and then ended in San Juan with a stop in the middle in Jamaica. So that would give my son and I the opportunity to visit Jamaica for the first time, even if it's just one day.
Nice. So kind of checked off a whole bunch of your boxes there on the one sailing, which is interesting because I encourage folks that are listening to the show. I know, like, when you think of a Disney cruise, I would imagine most of our listeners that are big Walt Disney World fans going to the parks, you know, we're thinking of Port Canaveral, going down to the Bahamas and so forth, maybe to the Caribbean. But there are lots of unique cruises, Panama Canal, transatlantic repositioning cruises, like you mentioned, Galveston to San Juan. You know, those cruises not only are very unique because they don't happen, you know, twice a week or once a week. You know, they might happen once a year, once every couple of years. But they're also, a lot of times, a little bit less expensive. Now, you know, there's a premium with Disney Cruise Line. You get great service and it's a premium line. But you can find better deals when you're going on these more specialty or, you know, every couple year type itineraries. So you found that to be the case. And that was one of the reasons you picked sailing out of Galveston, huh?
It was. And one of the things that our son wanted to do, he's an only child, he wanted to bring his friend with him. So that was factoring in as well. And it was a couple thousand dollars cheaper than any of the other cruises that were stopping in Jamaica. And one of the biggest surprises, we chose it because it was a Disney cruise stopping in Jamaica, but ending in San Juan was a real treat for us. I had no idea how much we were going to love the port that we landed in.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about getting to the cruise from Canada, going down to the, you know, down to Galveston, at obviously the southern border of Texas. How, you know, because I think, you know, Disney Cruise Line hasn't really worked out as far as getting from Orlando International over to Port Canaveral. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine. They don't sail out of Galveston as much. So what's it like flying into Texas, getting to the port? Was that hard? Was that simple? How'd you take care of that?
You know what? It was a bit more complicated, I would say, but we used some of our points to get some flights. We flew out of Syracuse. We're not too far from the New York border up here in Ontario, and had a layover in Washington, and then arrived in Houston, right?
Would it be? Yeah, it'd be Houston.
And then we brokered a ride with a taxi driver to Galveston and stayed at a hotel there for a couple nights. So it ended up being cheaper for us. It was a bit of, you know, brokering the taxi was a little bit more challenging. We just didn't want to stay in Houston and have Disney drive us the morning of. We really wanted to go a couple nights before, just so we could enjoy Galveston as well. Yeah, and see the Gulf of Mexico that we've never seen.
I actually went down to Houston for one day for a NASA event where we got to tour the Johnson Space Center. And I was so excited because, you know, we don't get to see the ocean much here in Missouri in the dead center of the United States. So I drove just down to Galveston so I could see the Gulf of Mexico and drove back. And I will say, for somebody that didn't know what to expect in Galveston, that's an interesting city. It kind of, I've never been to New Orleans, but it kind of reminded me of that, with kind of all the grave sites everywhere. And it's a city full of history, I would say. Probably, I didn't get a chance to stay there much, but I would have liked to.
Well, and really nice beaches right along the Gulf, just right outside where our hotel was for the couple days before the cruise.
Nice. All right, so let's hear about it. The Disney Wonder's there. It's time to go on the cruise. You guys are pumped, I'm sure, because when you see that ship, it's like, I'm getting on that thing. We're going to have a good time. So let me ask you this now. What were your first impressions of the Disney Wonder when it was time to board the ship?
I was like, wow, it's pretty big. It's bigger than I ever saw it. So in the pictures, it looks kind of small, but when you actually get up close, you're like, whoa.
I totally agree. Because you know what? Like they always say, well, at least Disney fans say, well, the Magic and the Wonder, they're the small ships, because relatively they are smaller than the Dream and the Fantasy. However, you're exactly right. When you're next to that ship, you're like, that's a city on water right there. There's a lot going on there. Okay, so what did you think, Rochelle, when you saw the Wonder there, first impressions, and how was the boarding process going through and getting everybody, you know, walking onto the ship, getting everything organized that way?
You know what, we really just walked right on the ship. We found it just really easy to get on, and then we were able to explore. I mean, of course, we're in total awe Like, we'd never been on a cruise, and here we are with Disney. As soon as you walk on, they introduce our family. And I'm not sure if I told you, but my sister also came with her husband. And so there were, you know, a couple families together, and we just loved it. They had the sail away party. We were just in awe of that. And as we're sailing away, we can see like dolphins diving in the water. I'm thinking, how more beautiful can it be?
You know, Disney works hard to make sure those dolphins are trained to follow you right out of the Galveston Bay there. So that's pretty cool.
You got to see dolphins. They were like right with us.
That's pretty cool. That's like, it's like being in the Little Mermaid or something. That's awesome to hear. They go the extra mile there. So now, Nat, your mom mentioned that you got to bring a friend with you on this cruise, which I think is incredible. I mean, that's a, because I mean, I've been on lots of cruises and they're so much fun. I love sailing on with my friends as an adult. But what was that like? I mean, getting ready for the cruise, how'd you guys plan for that? And was it something that made the cruise that much better?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I was by myself, at times I'd be really bored. Just why am I here? But my friend, just he brightened my day every time I was bored.
So how'd you guys get ready for the cruise? I mean, did you watch like YouTube videos, or was it just like, you know, when it gets here, it'll get here? Were you guys like really counting it down, looking forward to it, kind of like us other Disney nerds?
I wouldn't know. My mom did everything.
All right, sounds good. I get it. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, actually, it was funny because I was like watching little YouTube videos. I was preparing and I would try and show him, and he goes, "You know what? It's going to take away some of the fun for me. I'd rather just be surprised when I get there." And so there really wasn't a lot of prep. The only thing we did is we had his friend stay over a couple nights just kind of to practice being away from mom and dad and see how that would go. But really, in terms of the details of the cruise ship, the boys had made a decision that they wanted to be wowed and they didn't want to see a gazillion screenshots and pictures and videos.
I can appreciate that. I can appreciate when there's something new at Walt Disney World, I try to do the same. It's tough because I'm always on social media, but yes, I appreciate that, Nat. That's the way to go, because that way it doesn't ruin the in-life experience, which I think many of us get spoiled on. So let's talk about your stateroom, because that's an important choice. That's probably, you don't have a lot of choices when it comes to planning a cruise. You know, it's kind of nice. You don't have as many options as a, you know, Walt Disney World or Disneyland trip. You just basically pick an itinerary, a stateroom, and if you want to do early or late dining and a couple of port adventures, and you're good to go. So stateroom's home. So how'd you find that to work out for you guys? What kind did you have?
Well, again, cost-wise, we just went with an inside stateroom. And I'd say there was probably one night where I was wondering why we were all a little bit, kind of felt like we were climbing over one another. And then I was reminding myself that the stateroom is about the size of my walk-in closet. And we have four of us trying to live here for a week. But we did mostly manage quite well in the space. We liked it that it was quite dark, so we slept well. And we were hardly in there anyway. We were out and about. The boys were almost constantly in the kids club, and we, my sister and I and my brother-in-law and my husband in the adult sections and different parts of the ship. So,
yeah. I know what you're saying about being, because the inside stateroom, I mean, once you're on, there's a couple ways to look at it. I mean, if you get a nice veranda, it's great because you can hang out there, have your breakfast, have your coffee, what have you. But once you're on the ship, you know, inside, veranda, stateroom, ocean view, you have access to all the same amenities, same shows, same dining options, same onboard activities and so forth. So as long as you get on the ship, you're fine. But I will say that I did the same thing on our very first podcast cruise. We were on an inside on the Dream, and it was our family of four, and I have a wife and two daughters. And I mean, and we were on back-to-back sailings. We were going to be at sea for 12 days because we were getting on a Royal cruise after that. We had all that luggage. That was ridiculous. Like, I learned my lesson. We never will do that again because it was just so, so tight. But you're right about it being dark and you can sleep like a champ. That is the hands down best part about an inside stateroom. You it could be 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you'd still be asleep thinking it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
My son just whispered to me. He said, "We have to tell you about Dean, our stateroom host. He was just utterly amazing. Knew our family by name, was making towel creations for the boys. We just thought he was amazing. And he you know, the stateroom was always clean and ready for us and ready for bed. And he was just really a great guy. And even he was the one who did the demos on towel folding. So, of course, we went to that because we liked him so much. He had told us that he was going to be doing some demonstrations, and he did some private demonstrations with the boys just because he was so kind to our family and helped them make a couple extra towel animals that they got to learn how to make. Yeah.
That's, you know, I love hearing that because, again, I always want the show to be about the cast members who are going above and beyond to make the experience what it is. And I'll tell you, and it sounds like you had kind of that same experience that we usually have. Not all the time, but I mean, I'd say 80% of the time or more, that by the time we get off the ship, we feel like we're almost family with either our dining room staff or our stateroom attendant, you know, because you kind of do build a relationship even 4, 5, 6 days. It's kind of crazy because they really do bend over backwards to give you a great experience.
Yeah. And that was absolutely our experience with Dean.
So tell us about some of the stuff you did on board before we kind of hit some of the ports, but, you know, I've always said I'm a big fan of the stuff you can do on the ship that you don't get to do in real life. You know, karaoke, game shows, like you said, towel folding. Sometimes there's trivia. Highlights as far as that kind of stuff.
I'm trying to think. So we went to some of the craft things and we did some of the movies in the theaters. We really enjoyed that. Of course, we did all of the stage shows, loved them, and just even some of the shows that they had in the adult only section. We had gone to see the ventriloquists and other pieces and some of the comedians and musicians. We had loved that, but I think probably for the boys, the utter highlight was the kids club. They were begging us to stay there. They would just come out to get that soft serve ice cream and or pizza and then run back. But why don't you go ahead and talk about the kids club?
Yes.
Him and his friend were at a great age because they were 11 at the time. And so they could go to the kids club, but they could also go to the tween club. And they just rotated between the two of them, depending on the activities.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
Yeah, so I'll talk about first about the kids club. The kids club was great. Like, it was mostly smaller kids, but it was still fun, though. Like, there was, like, tons of games and iPads and all sorts of stuff that was just, I just couldn't stop playing. And then I was really sad when my mom was like, okay, come on, it's time to go to bed.
Oh, that's good to hear because that means you have plenty to do and it's a lot of fun. I will tell you, and this is just confession of a podcaster here, every time before the cruises sail out, the adults are allowed to tour the clubs. You know, the kids club, the Edge, Vibe, what have you, all these different clubs. And I have always said I am so jealous of the cool stuff they have in these clubs, whether it's any of the three. You know, it seems like there's a lot going on. And if I was a kid, I would be blown out of the water. So I'm glad to hear somebody firsthand that's been in there that really enjoyed it. So lots of activities. Did you feel like it was up to date? You said you had iPads and electronics and stuff. I mean, that would have been my jam. But I mean, was that something for you, too?
Yeah, it was just amazing. Like they had everything that you'd want as a kid.
Cool. So you said you got to bounce kind of back and forth. How's the tween stuff? Like when you went up to the kind of the older demographic there with the kids, what was that like?
It was personally, I found it more fun than the kids club. My friend didn't think so, but I found it better because just the games were more to my age at the time. It was just more just fun to be, and there was like an organized events, and that was always fun.
That's what's gonna, you know, from a distance, I've always seen it looks like that the teens and the tweens and so forth, like with the you know, the counselors, the people that are in charge, the cast members, that they're organizing kind of like mixers and getting people to know each other, whether it's a scavenger hunt going around the ship or some kind of a contest. Did you participate in any of those things where like you guys went around as a group and you got to meet people from all over the world because, you know, everybody's on that cruise together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought that'd be awesome. Because that's what I love. You know, being from Missouri, we don't get to, you know, meet people from other countries and other parts of the world too often. You know, we're kind of landlocked here in the middle of the country. If I would have had the opportunity to do that, I would have thought that was really cool to meet people from all over.
Yeah, it was.
Awesome. So let's talk about some of the ports and some of the stuff you did. You mentioned Jamaica was one of the reasons that you guys wanted to take this particular itinerary. Did you guys stop in Falmouth? I believe that's where we stopped on the Fantasy.
Yeah, the port was Falmouth.
So what'd you think? What'd you guys do in Jamaica?
So we had booked a port adventure through Disney Cruise Lines, and I let my son choose, and this was going to be, you know what, no limit, whatever he wanted. And he chose to go. It was a dual thing. We were brought to Mystic Mountain and we went up on a lift. And when we were up there, we went on a bobsled ride. And it's kind of like a mini roller coaster through the mountains.
Yep, I've seen it.
But it's with the theming of the Jamaican bobsled team. And you can control your speed as you're going around the mountain. And one of our favorite Disney movies is Cool Runnings.
Yeah, man.
And so we absolutely were totally excited to go up and do that. Then when we finished the bobsled ride, we were given what was supposed to be a traditional Jamaican meal, but it was kind of an Americanized, Canadianized version. So says my husband, a little bit less spice, but still loved it. And then after that, we had another stop at Dunn River Falls. And the reason we wanted that one is because we have pictures of my husband when he was young in Dunn River Falls. So we loved the tour. Our guide was amazing, and we were with other folks from the Disney Wonder on that tour as well. And I'm not sure if you know Dunn River Falls, but you can climb the falls. And
yeah, so I want to ask you, because that is really I would say that's the most popular excursion for anybody that goes to Jamaica on a cruise. You go to Dunn River Falls and do all that. I've been to Jamaica, I think, 5 times now on various cruises and done things from one time we did a canopy tour where they, you know, zip line you around the trees. That was awesome. We've rented Jeeps one time. This past time on the podcast cruise, we didn't even make it past Margaritaville at the port. We just got in the pool and had a good time because it was so nice. But it's one of those things that I think that's the excursion most people think about. So was it strenuous? Was it relaxing? I mean, what was the overall vibe of that? Because I think most people want to do that excursion if they're going to do any in Jamaica.
You know what? I would more characterize it as a lot of fun. You have to be physically fit to climb, but you don't have to be a sports person or anything like that. We were all quite fine, and we just loved it. It was a lot of fun, and the guides made it a lot of fun for us. They seemed to know just different features of the falls so that we could slide a little, take plunges. You know, they had us, of course, they were videotaping us and taking pictures of us saying Yaman, and had some great music while we were climbing the falls as well. So,
you know, it's so funny because I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of online radio, and I listen to a radio station quite frequently called Power 106, which is out of Jamaica, and they're always talking about the politics. It's almost like St. Louis talk radio, but it's in Kingston, Jamaica, and it's interesting because, you know, that they talk about how tourism really is a focus of their economy, you know, down in Jamaica. But then again, you know, I see it from the other side where I go down, I have a good time. I spend, you know, the money I can. But it's interesting because, you know, we're all going there to have a good time, but these guides and so forth really do. I mean, I think some of us worry that they're trying to hustle you sometimes, which I see more in the Bahamas. But, you know, the way I see it is they're earning a living, you know, and they're trying to really work hard for us. I think that's cool to see, you know, the photographers and the folks taking us on tours. You got to see it from both sides. You know, some people say they're aggressive down there, but I think they're just, you know, they're just trying to take advantage and feed their families just like we do.
Yeah, and I don't know that we found it aggressive or anything. Like I said, we just really had a great time. And even the bus driver and on the way, because it was quite a ways from Falmouth, it really was a guided tour. She was telling us different features. And I think for my husband, he really appreciated being able to not just drive through some of the more touristy areas, but just where folks live and make a living. And so we were able to see that on the way, as well as just the beautiful country and the beautiful views from up on the mountain. So
yeah. Oh, that's a gorgeous country. I've been to Montego Bay too, and that was super gorgeous. Oh, beautiful. All right, so what other ports you guys visit? You ended in San Juan, so it's in there. But did you guys stop anywhere else?
We also stopped in Cozumel, Mexico, and my brother-in-law scuba dives, and he did some scuba diving. And because we couldn't scuba dive, we did a proxy, which was we went in a submarine ride, and we loved it. Although Nathaniel, I think you have something to say about Cozumel, Mexico. Do you?
Yeah, when we went, it was great. It was really fun and stuff. But when we were coming back, I just could not handle the heat.
That's how it is in St. Louis all the time in the summer. It's brutal down there, and it's brutal here. I know what you're talking about, though. It's bad. I'm so stupid. I've been to Cozumel many times. I've done the amazing race. They do a simulated amazing race thing that lasts probably about 5 to 6 hours, where you run around the entire town picking up clues and doing challenges and all kinds of crazy stuff. In both times I've done it, July. So how stupid am I to run around for, like, I think they say you run 7 or 8 miles during this event. I've come in second and won the other time. I'm super competitive, but it almost killed me both. And that's supposed to be called vacation.
Well, I guess we're just true Canadians. We can't maybe handle the heat as much because it was January. It wasn't the dead of summer, but we had taken the submarine ride thinking, okay, we'll have that in the morning. We'll come back. We'll enjoy the ship. We'll go by the pool. Well, there was no way I was getting Matt back to the pool. He was staying inside where it was air conditioning. No way. Until we left the Mexico port.
Smart guy.
It started to cool down a little bit. It was still beautiful weather. But.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask, was the submarine, was that claustrophobic at all? Because I've looked at that and I'm like, I don't know, man. I go on cruises and I've done a few other things, but I don't know if I get a little claustrophobic going on a sub.
We weren't claustrophobic. We loved it. And again, we just had a great guide. He was pointing everything out to us. We were sitting up right next to him near the entrance. And, you know, we saw barracuda. We saw stingrays and turtles. We were busy, not really thinking that we were in the submarine. And then, you know, as you go down, he's like, oh, this is the deepest part. And what else did we see? We saw a sunken ship, some divers while we were going around. So we didn't feel that way at all.
Did you get to see your brother-in-law? Like, best of both worlds. Huh?
We don't know. We took a picture and asked him. He laughed at us.
Hey, we were right past you. No, that's pretty cool. I do love Cozumel. Cozumel, the one thing it has going for it, there's tons to do. You got Paradise Beach. You got all kinds of excursion, rent jeeps, segways, dune buggies, snorkels, scuba. There's a lot happening there. It's actually a fun place to go. Let's kind of shift back to the ship. Tell us about your dining experiences. Like maybe your favorite restaurant or something that happened in the dining area for the cruise.
We absolutely loved the food. In fact, my brother and my sister have been on other cruise ships and other cruise companies and just said it was the best that they've ever had. And we loved it. We did go to Palo one night, just the adults. It was very, very good food, but it's fine dining and you don't quite get as much. So I always find it humorous. I've only eaten fine dining a few times in my life. And every single time I walk away going, I'm still hungry. So we ordered room service because the boys were actually still hungry as well. They had some pizza and went off to the kids club, but then when we went to pick them up after our Palo dinner, we were all saying we were still hungry, so we ordered room service that day. But Nat, what happened? Did you get any of the room service?
No, I fell asleep.
Oh no, you gotta stay up till the food gets there.
So we just ate his portion while he slept.
That's probably what I would do too. You know, no, you mentioned though, when you go places that are real fancy, like Palo and so forth. One time I had the exact same experience. I remember we're all, you know, for me, I was really dressed up. I don't dress up a whole lot, but we were dressed up to go to Palo, and the same thing when we were done, I was still hungry. So here I am all dressed up, walking to, you know, like the pizza window that's open till midnight, getting like 3 slabs of pizza because I'm still hungry, but I'm all dressed up like I went to Palo. So yeah, I get where you're coming from.
it was, you know what, it was great. I'm glad we did the experience. I mean, if next Disney cruise, we'll probably try the brunch to try something different. I don't regret it, but at the same time, I found it really humorous. We had this amazing, these amazing meals, and then room service.
Oh, and again, if you're cruising with Disney Cruise Line, free room service 24 hours. You just got a tip. So take advantage of that. All right. So what about shows, entertainment? Was there anything that stood out for you in that area?
You go ahead, Nat. He's whispering to me, so I'm just saying, tell him yourself.
Exactly.
It's not that technically what you mean by animation, but entertainment. But it was kind of entertainment in the animation food thing. What is it called?
Oh, okay. He wants to talk about when we went to Animator's Palette.
Yes, love that restaurant
for dinner, because my son is a wonderful artist, and he was so excited to be able to do the drawings in Animator's Palette the one night. And see our characters on the screen. So, yeah, it's a good point that you make, Nat. It's, you know what, even the dinners are entertaining. Like Tiana's Place is, you know, a great jazz show and parade, and then Animator's Palette. At the beginning, you're drawing your characters, and then they're in the show.
Yeah, I love that experience.
Drink dessert.
Oh, yeah, and I haven't seen Tiana's Place, which I'm hearing great things about. So you thought that was well done too?
It was awesome. And the jazz music was great. My husband is a musician and he was even impressed by it. Just loved it during our dinner.
Nice. Yeah, I love some good jazz. I'll tell you, I used to work as a mobile DJ because my dad owned a company, and every weekend I'd do a wedding reception or a prom or something, mostly wedding receptions. And, we always played, you know, light jazz for the dinner hour, you know. So now, to this day, if I hear some light jazz, like, I start getting hungry. It's associated with dinner. It's like, well, we're having, you know, muscacholi. That's what we have here in the Midwest at every wedding, you know, muscacholi and, you know, some pasta and salad. So, I would imagine I'd be starved in that place. So let's talk about where you wrap this cruise up. You guys went to San Juan, which looks very interesting. I've heard Matt Hochberg talk about it on his show. He really enjoys this port. You said you enjoyed it at the top of the show. What was special about San Juan?
Yeah, go ahead, Matt. You tell him. This is his one special thing.
When we were walking to go to the fort, we saw about 20 cats on the way. it was really funny.
He just thought this was hilarious. And it was like, every three steps, there was another cat like coming up beside us. And I'm not sure what the story is with the cats in San Juan. But we disembarked as quick as we could. And our flight was later around 5:30. So we just quickly went down to Old San Juan, left our bags with this restaurant that we had just found online that takes them for free. But we gave them a little bit of a tip, and we walked to the fort. And along the way, early in the morning, we just kept seeing these cats everywhere. Son loves pets, and so we just took tons of pictures of cats all the way to the fort.
It sounds like they need a Twitter account, the Cats of San Juan. they could tweet their thoughts on all world issues or something like that. That's what happens. No, because I've never been to San Juan. Big fan of Yadier Molina, who's from Puerto Rico, our baseball player. Beautiful, beautiful area. I mean, did it look, the whole Puerto Rico looks nice to me. I'd love to see it. That's one of the few places I haven't been.
It was like stunningly beautiful. We walked up to one of the forts, El Moro, I think it was, the bigger one. And like the views from everywhere in the fort, I just couldn't believe it. And it was a beautiful day. It was really warm, but not too warm that as Canadians, we were complaining of the heat, but at the same time, just really beautiful. And the history, and I mean, I think we paid like $5 American to go into the fort. They gave us a little bit of a history lesson. We got to explore. And one of the things the boys just loved is everywhere we turned, there were iguanas crawling all over the fort. And they were just so intrigued with these creatures everywhere. And I think we stayed there a couple hours, and then we walked back to the restaurant where we had left our bags and had a traditional, whatever they recommended to us as a traditional meal there, and had lots of time to get back to the airport. So it totally surprised us. Really, we had picked, like I said, we had just picked this cruise because of the price and the stop in Jamaica, but I would say San Juan was absolutely a bonus for us.
I'm so looking at this itinerary. This looks like something very interesting because you can get to Galveston relatively cheap, you know, down to Houston and from the Midwest, and then fly home from San Juan and you're set. Yeah, I'm definitely, you're selling me on this one. So I'm glad we got to talk about this today. And I know you guys are going to World here next month in December. So what's on the itinerary for there? What are you looking forward to as far as heading down to Walt Disney World?
Well, this is about experiencing everything Christmas at Walt Disney World. That's the goal of that trip. We've wanted to go for a few times. And whoops, wait, there's one more thing. Go ahead, Nathaniel, you tell them.
And one thing that we're extremely excited about is the Four Parks One Day Challenge.
Ooh, have you started like coming up with a strategy? Because I do that once a year and it's called the marathon. And it's probably just as exhausting to do it non-marathon way. So what's your strategy?
Well, he's got me doing the planning because I'm the planner. But his goal is to ride every ride in all four parks in one day. So everything else for that trip is Christmas, but that one day is all his, and I'm doing my best to plan and make sure that we do hit every ride and he gets to have his bragging rights. And I am quietly walking and running to try and build up my stamina, because there'll be nothing worse than if we can't finish it because his mother collapses.
You're training for your kind of marathon right there. That's, yeah, they always say youth is wasted on the young, which I don't know, man. That's one of those things. It's a great idea when you're talking about going down there, but boy, Walt Disney World just exhausts me like nowhere else. You're going to have a good time. So what Christmas thing are you looking forward to the most? Like if there was one event as far as the Christmas activities that you want, you're most excited about, what is it?
Well, I'd say for me, it's, of course, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, but a close second is the Candlelight Processional at Epcot.
Yes, yes. Well, it sounds like you're going to have a great time here, and you guys just have a mere month or so until you head down. So thanks so much, Nat and Rochelle, for coming on the show with me today. Loved recapping the cruise, but I want to look at this one and have a great trip next month. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. Just check them out. They got so many great offerings. It's a great way to spread the love of Disney. And also, they're great books to get you just fired up for your interactions with others, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, what have you. Great books. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And when you're on your Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal Vacation, stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out today. Again, they're over at touringplans.com. And as the holidays approach here very, very quickly, we really appreciate it when you support the show through our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps support the show. It's the easiest way to support the show. Actually, just click through there. It takes you right to Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. Again, bookmark the link on all your devices. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, we got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and we'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. But for now, for Nat and Rochelle, I'm Mike wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.